Here's today's big hard fact. According to Statista, 108 million Nigerians use the internet. 108 million Nigerians use the internet. So 108 million of us are directly affected both by the policies of online platforms and by the efforts of NITDA and other agencies to regulate them. The draft code, this draft code of practice is the latest effort to achieve that regulation. So I know you want to know how it's intended to work and what it contains. And joining me on the show is the head of legal and board matters at NITDA. His name is Barrister Emmanuel Edet. And of course, he is the best person to ask all of the questions we have today. So good evening to you, Mr. Edet. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you. It's my pleasure being here.
Lagos, you can watch this interview live on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM. Mr. Edet is joining us via Zoom today. And if you have questions, of course, give us a call and ask. We really want to hear from you on this particular conversation. What questions do you have for NITDA about this code of practice for interactive platforms? Men, the number to call is 0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01-465-7190. Now, I have to start with the issues this code of practice intends to address. Mr. Edet, what issues does this code of practice intend to address?
Thank you very much, Sandra. It's just the framework to address issues that have to do with misinformation and disinformation, as well as certain kind of lewd content that go into online platforms, and also to develop procedures to ensure that any content that is shared within Nigeria complies with the laws and regulations of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. So it's just basically an instrument that provides for procedure and guidelines in dealing with posting information on these multinational platforms as far as it affects Nigeria, and then also trying as much as possible to ensure that people are safe and people's information are actually safe online. So that's just basically.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So let's get into the details of it. Let's get into the content of the draft itself. What does the code require online platforms to do and not do?
Okay. The code basically requires online platforms to provide a contact person within the country where some issues of customer service can be referred to. It also requires them to comply with the laws of the Federal Republic of Nigeria and ensure that anything that is posted in their online environment complies with the laws of Nigeria. It also demands that they comply with some of the issues that come up as far as our local content is concerned. It also tries to outline a sort of relationship between them and the law enforcement agencies, because some of those content may be criminal in nature. It also outlines the fact that they can provide information based on court order and provide an annual report, I think it's quarterly report of their activities within the country. So it's just basically a guide on how these platforms are actually used legally in Nigeria.
Okay. Lagos, you heard the man. So this code requires platforms to ensure Nigerian law can be enforced online, comply quickly with court orders to provide government with information or assistance during investigations, respond within 24 hours to any report from citizens or government about illegal content and take it down, exercise due diligence to ensure that no illegal content is uploaded, provide a dedicated channel for government agencies to make reports, give updates in writing to the reporter about a report, perform risk assessment on all flagged reported content. Then there are also additional requirements for large service platforms, you know, platforms that have over 100,000 users. So be incorporated in Nigeria, like Mr. Edet has said, have a fiscal address in Nigeria, appoint a liaison officer, have increased human supervision of automated moderation tools, be able to explain to users and government why particular content appears on particular timelines, be able to explain to users and government the reasons behind a particular content being popular, remove all prohibited content as defined by the code. Now, these are the things that this code requires these platforms to do and not do. What do you think about it? 0700-993-993-993. That's for men, for women, 01465-7190. If you've got questions, we've got Nita in the room. This is your chance to ask all the questions that you have. Before we get the calls, though, I want to ask you about the prohibited content as the draft code defines it. The code says, quote, prohibited materials is that which is objectionable on the grounds of public interest, morality, order, security, peace, or is otherwise prohibited by applicable Nigerian laws, end quote. Now, there's nothing wrong with the code saying that platforms should not have content that breaks the law, but there's been a lot of pushback on the language around public interest and morality. Nita, of course, doesn't have the right to issue regulations based on morality. So why was morality added as a grounds of prohibiting content?
All right, thank you very much. I know that has been an issue. That word morality has been construed as being a subjective word that would deal with, will restrict a lot of content, because that's the way it's been interpreted to me.
Okay.
But the terms that we use in that particular section of the code are terms that are already enshrined in Nigerian law.
Okay.
And some of those terms are already in several other provisions that actually build up to this particular code. They are used in certain laws, they are used in certain broadcast codes, they are used in certain other regulations. And so we're just taking a leaf of that. Mm-hmm. But again, the good thing is that this is a draft.
Okay.
And we are exposing it to the entire Nigerian stakeholders. And we're saying, hey guys, this is what we have. What do you think about what we have? And we are very excited to have opinions like this, where people say, oh, morality shouldn't be a word there. And so these are things that we're going to take into consideration. So as you know, no document is perfect. And so that's the essence of having this kind of conversations and having the opportunity to get the feedback. We've provided Nigerians an opportunity to hit us back with what they think this code should actually address and how they think it should be addressed. And we'll put that within the context of existing laws, and then we'll go ahead and take all these comments into consideration when we are handling the final version of this code.
It's interesting you say that, a lot of the language of this code was gotten from, a lot of other laws that currently exist, and I think the reason that the specific language morality has people concerned is because, well, Nigeria doesn't have a universal moral code enshrined in law. So if we have language in regulation that says an agency can prohibit activity or content on purely moral ground, whose morality will that agency be using to judge that content?
That's quite an interesting question. Again, like I said, we are not running away from that issue, right?
Yeah.
So if Nigerians are not satisfied with that particular word, of course, we'll have to handle it the proper way we handle this kind of inputs into regulations.
Okay.
And we'll deal with it as it matters. But be rest assured that this is not to place judgment on anybody on the use of social media. It's just an attempt to ensure that things that we put out there actually comply with our local laws. And at every point in time, is a matter that the courts can actually handle to determine issues that we are dealing with as far as the code is concerned.
Okay. Now let's talk about supervision and moderation. The draft code says that large platforms shall, quote, provide the necessary human supervision to review and improve the use of automated tools to strengthen accuracy and fairness, checkmate bias and discrimination, to ensure freedom of expression and privacy of users, end quote. So basically, the draft code wants increased human supervision of moderation processes. Now, there's a feasibility issue there. These platforms have tens of millions or hundreds of millions of users generating billions of pieces of content. The platforms say that in order to moderate all this content efficiently and quickly, they need to rely heavily on automated tools and keep the ratio of human moderators very, very low. So is NITA prepared to accept that increasing human moderators will lead to higher costs for the platforms, which may make operations in Nigeria less appealing?
Well, I don't think that would be the case. And if you the language you've read actually means that it's just a little bit of trying to ensure that this automated moderation does not just run on its own. It's not about changing automated moderation to fully human moderation. No, that's not what we are talking about. But what we are asking for is that let there be some form of human element in terms of that particular moderation. We all know that a lot of these technologies, automated moderation, are imported technologies, so to speak. And it's been noted that sometimes artificial intelligence on its own actually has some bias against certain forms of people and certain types of people. And we also recognize that our culture is slightly different from some other areas where these big tech companies actually operate. So all we want is let there be inputs from humans as far as this moderation is concerned. Let it not just be some machine that it's learning one or two things that would sit there and moderate any type of content and then provide some form of biases against certain type of people. So all we are trying to do is just ensure that we take our local circumstances into consideration when doing this moderation and ensure that there are human inputs to strike that balance between a purely automated environment and a purely human moderated environment. Just that balance to protect the interests of Nigerians. That's where we are gunning for.
Okay. The draft code also requires large platforms to, quote, on demand furnish a user or authorized government agency with information on reason behind popular online content demand and the factor or figure behind the influence, end quote. So basically, if a piece of content is going viral or becoming very popular, the draft code as written gives NITA the right to ask the platform why that content is popular, and the platform must investigate the reasons as well as point to any individuals who could have influenced it. And I wonder, why does NITA need this power? Why does the federal government need to be investigating virality?
Well, I don't think that is investigating virality. That sounds more like research, as far as we're concerned on this,
okay,
this end of the spectrum.
Okay,
because because there's a different thing about investigation. You know, most times investigation comes from court orders and this kind of information that would eventually lead to criminal prosecution. So that's not what we are talking about in this particular case. Okay. It's just that once in a while we need to understand what are the trends. This helps government develop policies. This also helps government develop angles of engagement of stakeholders, of the young ones, which are predominantly the users of this particular type of, should I call it, media?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are not in any way trying to find out why people are doing things or how they are doing their own things. Some of the statistics actually help us in doing a lot of other things behind the scene. And again, I think when you hear the word authorized law enforcement agency, they send jitters, down the spines of some people.
Oh, with good reason. With good reason.
They're coming to enforce something. Mm-hmm. But be rest assured that whatever information that we get are information that are vettable, information that anybody can actually, provided it has nothing to do with criminal investigations, information that anybody can actually have access to By using the appropriate freedom of information mechanism available here in Nigeria. Mm. So that's just our approach to this. Again, like you said, you know, what we put out may come out with the wrong impression and not really what we wanted to put out.
What your intention is, okay? Because I'm going based off of the language of the draft document and the I need to point something out.
Yeah.
The language of that clause that I read out earlier on doesn't specify that the content has to be legal content like revenge porn or insurrectionist content or anything like that. It simply says popular online content. And again, doesn't this go beyond the brief of enforcing the law? Doesn't it start creeping into monitoring the lives of citizens?
I would, in response to that, sincerely, I would say that some of those information that we are going to get, especially if it has got nothing to do with investigations, will not be attached to any individual's data. So we are not after who posted this, right? So we are after trends. So we don't get that kind of information that people think that we are going to get. We're not going to say, okay, 10 million people viewed this or 10 million people posted this. Can we have their names? No. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay, why is, you know, we want to know this is a trend. Why is there a trend? Mm. And so we use those trends to do some of the things that we intend to do as a government agency charged with the responsibility of making the digital environment more comfortable for Nigerians. So that's what we are looking at. Mm. We are not looking at any other means of trying to find out who posted what. That's none of our business. As we are not a law enforcement agency, NIDA, for example. that wasn't our intention right from the beginning.
Okay. Have any social media platforms given NIDA any feedback about the draft code of practice?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
We have received, in fact, before we came up with this code, we had engaged some of these platforms.
Okay.
Of course, you know, you can invite a million people and only four or five people show up who are really interested.
Right.
So we engaged some of these platforms and we did receive feedback from them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were not satisfied with some of the section. Some of them wanted it to be more enforceable. But we are looking at compliance here from the NIDA end.
Mm.
We are not looking at jailing someone because, as you can see, it doesn't focus on punishment.
Mm.
But we want to also develop an industry code
that
will help us as a country and ensure that when things are put online and they actually violate rules and laws, those things can be dealt with as you would do in an online environment. In fact, we've received a lot of complaints because sometimes we just don't know where to go and complain.
Right.
For example, we got a complaint of someone who had a relative kidnapped, and the relative was eventually murdered, and the picture was posted in an online blog. And it took the person almost a month to try and get that thing off. So in such circumstances, what do you really do? You can't just keep quiet and ignore some of those things. Mm. Again, our objective is not really to censor anybody. No, that's our objective. Our objective is to ensure that there are certain things that do not stay online longer than necessary, especially when it causes harm to Nigerians.
In what ways does the current practice of platforms fall short of what is captured in the draft code?
Right. So one of the challenges that we have, a lot of this platform has generic policies that apply across board, right?
Right.
And so what happens is that whenever they go to a jurisdiction, like let's take, for example, the European Union, right?
Right.
They tend to tweak their policies to comply with the rules and regulations as far as the European Union is concerned, and so also in most other countries.
Right.
So we also have a fair deal as far as those things are concerned.
Right.
For example, if you go to the UK, what you can have access to on Twitter is totally different from what you can have access to if you're joining from Nigeria.
Right.
So we certainly want a fair deal as far as those kind of issues are concerned. Take us also into consideration when you're doing your policies. We have our own peculiarities as well, and we want these peculiarities to be highlighted for the benefit of Nigerians.
Now, my final question, and then I'll let you go. Are there concerns about the capacity of platforms to process requests within the time frame the draft code prescribes, and also about NIDA's capacity to monitor all of these requests and compliance levels?
you know, like every regulation, right? You cannot have 100% coverage from day one.
Right.
But sometimes some of those peculiarities are things that are actually new as far as issues are concerned when you're dealing with this platform.
Right.
For example, most of the platforms are multinational. So bringing them to your jurisdiction alone is another big and large challenge.
Right.
Building capacity for enforcement is another challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we should not take this step. Because if we are ready from day one, then what's the point? So this will also help us develop capacity in order to ensure that these platforms are used adequately, and then we are able to ensure that Nigerians use this platform safely online.
All right. Barrister Emmanuel Adet is the head of legal and board matters at NITDA. NITDA is the Nigeria Information Technology Development Agency, and he's just spent the last 25 minutes talking to us about the draft code of practice that has been created for online platforms. Barrister Adet, if we have more questions, we'll surely reach out. But thank you so much for your time on the show today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
All right, Lagos, before we take your calls, let me remind you that we have another guest joining us on the other side of 5:30, Chief Andy Oboforibo. He is a product lead at Founders Factory Africa, a venture capital firm specializing in tech investments. And he'll be talking to us about this draft code and what he thinks about it. They are stakeholders, and so it'd be nice to hear from stakeholders in the tech industry. But hey, if you're going to use social media platforms, you need a phone to do it. And I've got someone with information about the phones that you can use to do it. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm still asking, how will NITDA's new code of conduct, new code of practice, I don't know why I keep calling that thing code of conduct, new code of practice impact your online life? NITDA is the Nigeria Information Technology Development Agency. Since 5 o'clock, we've been talking about this. We spoke with the head of legal at NITDA, Barrister Emmanuel Adet. We spoke with NITDA directly about their draft code of practice for online platforms. He mentioned that this is a draft. They do require the feedback from the public, and that's what Hard Facts provides. Think of Hard Facts as a daily town hall meeting for government policies, right? So when government says, oh, we want to do this, so me, I'll come and shout for you people. Government says they want to do this, so then you people will say, no, we hate it. Yeah, we love it. And government says, okay, they love it, and then they'll sign it on. Okay, they hate it, and then they'll fix it. So that's it. That it's a daily town hall meeting, you know. But this code, this particular draft code, will regulate what online platforms must do and must not do. Now, it's important to pay attention to this because it's an important piece of regulation. And it affects a lot of Nigerians, or it could affect a lot of Nigerians who are online. Now, remember, before the break, I told you that according to Statista, 108 million Nigerians use the internet. So 108 million of us are directly affected both by the policies of online platforms and the policies of their regulators like NITDA. So you've heard from NITDA, and for the rest of the hour, which is not a lot anymore, let's hear from an expert in the sector. My guest is product lead at Founders Factory Africa. Is a venture capital. It is a venture capital firm specializing in tech investments. Chief Andy Oboforibo, welcome back to Hard Facts. Always a pleasure to have you here.
Always a pleasure to be here, Sandra. Thank you.
And Lagos, we still want those questions or those observations or those comments. Go ahead and give us a call on 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Chief, did you listen to my conversation with the head of legal at NITDA?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, you've heard the reasons that NITDA have given for the existence of this code. Do you agree? Does Nigeria need this code?
Yes, well, Nigeria needs a code, right? So, for instance, the NITDA head of legal was talking about the local contexts in terms of, say, automation and how automated moderation can sometimes work against Black people, for example, in particular regards, things just algorithms work against us, etc. So definitely, when you have an African government at that table saying, look, these are the concerns that our people have, these are the ways that usage of your platform works adversely against our people because we were not taken into account when the platforms were being built. That's definitely a big plus. Now, at the same time, there is always a danger. The danger here is one more piece of regulation, one more tool in the hands of anyone in government who might want to stifle free speech, freedom of expression. We have seen how the internet and social media platforms have become a great source of expression, a great source of even organization and mobilization for Nigerians. So whenever you hear this, yes, there is a need for a code, but at the same time, care has to be taken to make sure that the code is serving Nigerians, not enslaving them.
Now let's talk about the content of the draft code. I asked Barrister Edet, the head of legal at NIDA, about defining prohibited content based on morality as written in the code, because the code says, quote, prohibited materials is that which is objectionable on the grounds of public interest, morality, order, security, peace, or is otherwise prohibited by applicable Nigerian laws. What's your opinion about this? What did you think about his answer to this question?
Well, I think his answer kind of skirted the issue, because like he was saying that any provisions are built on laws that already exist, right? So, okay, so why do not restrict the clause on prohibited prohibited content simply to any content that violates existing laws? If it had been restricted to that, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
But he did mention that this was a draft, and you know, if people really don't want the clause morality to exist, they will strike it out. What do you think about
that? I don't want the morality clause to exist, and I think it's so I'm saying it. I think it's a cause for alarm whenever a government agency is writing a regulation or writing law and decides to put morality in there. Like, once you do that, you open this door. And I think this was, in a way, an own goal. There was really no need to place that there. It had no business there at all. I mean, I know this is not I beg to differ. We had that beautiful debate. Does Nigeria, is there a universal moral standard? And both debaters did great. But the truth of the matter is that there isn't one, you know, even within one religion, like say Christianity, there are disagreements about what things are moral versus immoral. Now you talk about a multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-religious society like Nigeria. And when you want to regulate anything based on morality, it's a red flag. So morality should not have entered there, especially because there's additional context. We have seen morality clauses used by other agencies to stifle speech. It's an ongoing battle with the Censors Board. Censors Board, for example, it's an ongoing battle with the NBC. And now suddenly we have NIDA out of nowhere, because now computer with the press, but now suddenly we're hearing about morality. So yeah, that should be stricken off, I think.
Okay, so let's go to supervision and moderation here. This draft code wants increased human supervision of moderation processes. And I asked the head of legal at NIDA about the feasibility issue there. And he said, well, no, they're not asking for an overhaul and a dramatic increase of human supervision. That they're asking that it not just be automated only. What do you think about that?
Well, I get that. I understand that. I agree with that. But at the same time, the platforms were not doing automation only anyway. The platforms are mostly doing a hybrid of automation and human supervision, you know. So is the question here that they want more Nigerian human supervision, more human supervision dedicated to Nigerian content? And then there's now the question which you asked him, and I'm not too sure about his answer, about the trade-off between, like, you're talking about a 24-hour turnaround time. You want human beings involved, and you want a 24-hour turnaround time. It's not going to work. You're going to need wider windows for people to act, to sit on these things. Mm. But I definitely agree that if it is in the context of issues that affect Nigerians specifically, or Africans, or Black people in general, sometimes with some of the platforms, there isn't enough done to understand how these issues affect us. And I'm always all for anything that improves that. But the truth of the matter is that some of the platforms are doing that already. So for instance, I serve on a West Africa-wide consultative forum for one of the major tech platforms. I'm not going to give them free advertising here. but one of the big four global tech platforms, social media platforms. Mm-hmm. I'm on an advisory panel for West Africa, mm-hmm. talking about issues that come up. West Africa specific issues, disinformation, misinformation, mm-hmm. hate speech, tribalism, religious mm-hmm. issues, mm-hmm. racism, all of that. Mm-hmm. So we're doing that without government. You know, government isn't involved. There's no code we're following. That's mm-hmm. just the sense of responsibility, both from the platforms and then pressure from the groups, like, you know, the various grassroots groups. So that's already happening. Can a code help speed that process, enshrine it? Definitely, but care has to be taken about the language to make sure that the code, in doing that, does not give too much power to government to use on the platforms in order to silence Nigeria.
If you just tuned in, Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info and the Nigeria Information Technology Development Agency has put out a draft code of practice for online platforms, and that's what we're talking about on today's show. How will NITDA's new code of practice impact your online life? Especially when you think about the fact that there are 108 million Nigerians online. I've spoken to the head of legal at the agency. Now I'm speaking to a stakeholder in the tech ecosystem about this draft. It's still a draft code of practice for online platforms. What do you think the impact of this draft code will be on Nigerian platforms, Chief Oboforibo?
That is a big concern there, because our platforms are small relatively and they're growing. But when you look at the threshold placed on this, 100,000 users is counted as a large platform. Mm. That catches quite a few Nigerian platforms, catches a few African platforms, expanding into Nigeria. Mm. And suddenly you have these requirements that may be a bit onerous for them. Mm. So this, like the reporting requirements, very heavy reporting requirements about incidents reported. How many of those incidents? When did you respond to them? You have to write to the agency and the reporting member of the public on what steps were being taken. Mm. Lot of operational overhead being imposed on them in that situation, even on the moderation side, etc. So I'm wondering how that 100,000 user threshold was chosen, mm-hmm. and whether enough thought went into, well, how does this affect Nigerian platforms? We want to grow so that they can go out there into the world and conquer the world, mm-hmm. and take over from the American and Chinese platforms. Mm-hmm. But suddenly we might be hampering them.
Lagos, join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993. 01465-7190. What did you think about the answers from the head of legal at NITDA? And what do you think about the answers from Chief Andy? 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling us.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
My name is Kay.
Hi, Kay. Welcome. Go ahead.
Give respect to Mr. Tony, though.
Okay.
Because I say, government is very sneaky. Mostly Nigerian government is a sneaky one.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
Because they will come to you, present a thing like, oh, here is the most perfect thing that we have been waiting for.
Right.
Unknowingly to you, that is an advantage for them to use it and silence you. By then, if you go to all these online stores, for example, then you will see something happens now. Then post it live. It goes live. You see whatever that goes on there and all those things without it being filtered, without it being like audited or whatever, edited or thereabout. Hmm. But once it goes into all those governments, whatever, they will only allow things that will favor them. Things that will, then will use it as a thing to target some certain people. Why will he say, for example, why will he say that, viral, whatever that goes viral, will be whatever? By then, if I should, for example, post something about related to government stuff, or something bad that any politician or whatever have done, and it went viral, is a kind of a trap for them to use it to get to me.
I thought that was a great place to end that. But thank you so much for calling. Interesting thoughts. We've got a comment here who says, I think Nigerian journalists should be more concerned about this code. What is going to be happening is news media and radio will stream important discussions and content, and many of which speak truth about the federal government. And if someone doesn't want that content to be viewed, they will yank it off. What they seem to be asking is, we don't have time to be debunking and clarifying issues as the FG. We order you to take it down. We don't like it. Take it down immediately. Because once you inform the platform with reasons, they yank off the content already. Okay. Chief, you've heard two thoughts so far. What do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot to be concerned about there in how the code approaches misinformation and disinformation. I am glad that the code differentiates between the two.
Right.
Misinformation is inadvertent sharing of false information, while disinformation is a willful, you're trying to deceive. And yeah, but there are large questions around, well, is this government's job really? Like, should government be involved in fighting fake news? And, you know, because again, at the end of the day, you have libel laws, you have slander laws, you have laws that are intended to protect, you know, and then you also have the laws that give the government power to prosecute people for dangerous disinformation. And those laws already exist. So if those things are there, then, and so I think I'm in agreement with the parts of the code that say, well, when there's a court order based on these things, then action should be taken. But at the same time, there has to be vigilance because, well, this is Nigeria. We have seen ridiculous court orders given. So is this just, while that is indeed following the letter of the law, there is a good thing. Also, that means citizens groups have to be active and aware to ensure that the court processes are not subverted and used to curb free speech, legitimate free speech online.
Okay, let's leave it at that. Thank you so much for your thoughts. I have 3 minutes before I go, but I think I can squeeze in like one final question because I have a final question, right? And it's a question I asked the head of legal at NITDA when he was on the show. This draft code requires large platforms to, on demand, furnish a user or authorized government agency with information on reason behind popular online content and the factor or figure behind the influence. So if a piece of content is going viral, basically, or becoming very popular, the draft code as written gives NITDA the right to ask a platform, why is this content trending? Investigate the reasons. Point us to the individuals who could have influenced it. And I asked Barrister Emmanuel Edet, well, why does NITDA need this power? And he said, well, it's just research. You know, think of it as research. It's not, I don't think it's, maybe perhaps the language is a bit scary, but what we're really going for there is, well, we want to just, you know, find out trends, follow the trends, see how people are using these social media platforms and why and in what ways, etc., etc. But it still seems to me like the federal government, you know, tends to want to be investigating virality. He disagrees. What do you think?
Well, if you're saying, you said virality, he said trends. That's the same thing. and the question now becomes why?
No. His sticking point was the investigating part.
Okay. He said, you said investigating, he's saying research. So, okay, fine. Let's say it's research. Why does the federal government want to do this research? He says, oh, there are things they're using it to do. What are those things? Because, again, I'm not sure if that's the job of the federal government. The federal government is to ensure that rules are not being broken, laws are not being broken. If NITDA is saying it wants to do this to improve conversation on social media, well, we didn't ask for that. We're doing just fine, right?
Well, he did mention that the European Union and a bunch of other countries have their own codes for these platforms. So why not Nigeria?
And like I said at the beginning, mm-hmm. I'm all for Nigeria having a code.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm taking exception to is mm-hmm. the idea that that code should involve research into trends,
All right. Which
is another way of investigating virality.
Let's leave it at that. Chief Andy Oboforibo, always a pleasure to have you on the show, Lagos. That's all the time I have. I'll be back tomorrow with the Big Three, Road to 2023 at 5. At 6 after the news, let's talk about Father's Day.